ॐ ध्यायामूलविलापकुण्डलवतीं तेजोमयीं नैष्ठिकीं स्निग्धापाङ्गविलोकिनीं भगवतीं मन्दस्मितश्रीमुखीं वात्सल्यामृतवर्षिणीं सुमधुरं सङ्कीर्तनालापिनीं श्यामाङ्गीं मदसिक्तसूक्तिम् अमृतानन्दात्मिकामीश्वरीम्। Shankara is speaking about the 15 steps, 15 angas, which can lead a person to be ever established in Brahman through Nididhyasanam, which in turn would lead to Aparoksha Anubhavam or Aparoksha Jnanam and Moksha. So he explained the first two steps as Yama and Niyama. We have already discussed as to how that is different from the Yama and Niyama propounded in the Yoga Shastram by Patanjali. So Shankara continues, the next sadhana, the next anga that he is going to speak about is Tyagam or renunciation. Tyaga prapancha rupasya chidatmatvavalokanat त्यागो हि महतां पूज्यः सद्यो मोक्षमयो यतः। सो त्यागम्, दिस वर्ड त्यागम् हैज डिफरेंट मीनिंग्स फ्रॉम डिफरेंट पर्सपेक्टिव्स। सो वेरी सिंपल एग्जांपल ऑफ त्यागम इज वी आर गोइंग इन अ बस। We find an elderly person standing, whereas we have a seat, we stand up and give that person the seat. So that's a kind of renunciation or Tyagam. We are doing some Tyagam for the elderly person. We are renouncing our seat for the elderly person. This is one of the common thing that we face. And then of course, as propounded in movies and other places, a person or a lover renouncing his love for the sake of the other person, for the opposite sex. So that's one of the tyagam that is emphasized in movies. Then we also have the tyagam or sannyasam, which is generally known as sannyasam, or renouncing everything and taking to the path of sannyasam or nivritti margam as per the shastras. So that is another popular meaning of tyagam. But as per Vedanta and as per shastra, shastras do speak about nivritti margam, but nivritti margam or being devoid of karma is not sannyasam alone. So sannyasam again can be split into internal sannyasam and external sannyasam. Nyeyas sanitya sannyasi yo na dveshti na kamshati nirdvandvo hi mahabaho sukam bandhat pramuchyate. This is Krishna's statement in the starting of the, if I am right, it's the starting of the fifth chapter, Sannyasa Yogam, or I guess Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yogam. Oh, that is fourth chapter, sorry. Sixth is Sannyasa Yogam, Karma Sannyasam, or Sannyasa Yogam, wherein Arjuna asks Krishna as to whether Sannyasam is great or Karma is great. So for that, Krishna says that Nyeyaha, no, Sanitya Sannyasi, know that person to be a Nitya Sannyasi. Meaning that ever renunciate. Who is that? Yo na dveshti na kankshati. Who na dveshti na kankshati. Who doesn't have any dvesham. Means with dvesham or aversion towards people and things. And na kankshati. Who doesn't desire anything. So who is devoid of kama and krodha. Or raga and dvesham. And nirdvandvo hi mahabaho. Such a person who is beyond dvandvam, dvandva bhavana or dual notions of the mind, which are happiness, sorrow, raga, dvesham, cold, heat, cold, and all those things. So he's devoid of duality in his mind, meaning he's concentrating or contemplating on the non-dual reality. Therefore, such a person, O Arjuna Mahabaho, O Arjuna, such a person, bandhat sukam pramuchyate, bandhat, from bondages, sukam. Sukam means easy. So sukam, the word sukam, generally means happiness, but in certain contexts, it can also mean easy or simple. So bandhat sukam pramuchyate, pramuchyate meaning he gets liberated from bondages, sukam, very easily, because such a person is a ever renunciate. So there are a lot of people, including the current day scholars and people who are following Vedanta or learning Vedanta, they kind of claim that few of the shlokas in the 5th as well as 6th chapter where Krishna speaks about a sannyasi as not a person who has the external robe, that as we can say it's not real statement, but it is just ativadam or too ambitious statement, or we can say like too overfetched statement. So it is something that we have to just ignore. It's like the statement that a person who realizes Brahman will get Ashtama Siddhi, Anima, Garima, Mahima, and all those 8 Siddhis they will get. So it is a similar statement. The 8 Siddhis and all a person might or might not get, because for a jnani it doesn't matter. So even like that, similar statements, there is a word for the such statements, it's not coming to my mind now. So those statements are called, like termed a name. So it's not real statement, it's just meant to attract seekers so that seekers follow Vedanta. So some people claim that Krishna's words are similar to that, but that's not the case. Like if somebody says that, okay, sannyasam, sannyasis are great, and sannyasam is the way to realization, then you can outright reject it, because Krishna doesn't take it that way. And even if we go back to Shankara's Bhashyam in Ishavasi Upanishad, the very first shloka of Ishavasi Upanishad, Shankara says that Ishavasi Upanishad, first shloka stands for Pravritti Margam, and second shloka stands for first shloka stands for Nivritti Margam, or the path of renunciation, and the second shloka speaks about Pravritti Margam, or path of action. So in the very first shloka there, Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena bunjitaha, tena, therefore tyaktena bunjitaha, tyagam, with renunciation, bunjitaha, enjoy. So rejoice with renunciation. That's what the Upanishad says. So a renunciate cannot have any enjoyment, because he is devoid of all enjoyment. He has renounced everything, including the ego. Then how can he enjoy? He cannot enjoy. So such a statement will be invalid if we consider a person to be in Nivritti Margam only if he is a sannyasi. So their sannyasam or tektena bunjita, renounce and enjoy, means that renounce the notions of namarupam, renounce individuality, renounce duality, and thereby apprehend the non-dual reality, ishavasyam idam sarvam. So renounce renounce dvaitam, thereby apprehend non-duality, or enjoy the Ishvara, enjoy Anandam in Ishvara by renouncing the entire world of duality. So that is what's the meaning. So therefore, if somebody says that sannyasam or tyagam, tyagam or sannyasam means renouncing or taking the path of sannyasam, and that alone can lead to realization or liberation, then you can outright reject such a person as well as his statement, because that is wrong. It is right that Shankara emphasizes on sannyasam, because majority of the people cannot live in the world and focus on Brahman, because we have so many activities, so many bandhas, so many bondages, so many relations, that we will not be able to prioritize Brahman or spiritual path and put it to high priority than all other things. So we'll say it is duty, my duty to look after people. So I cannot only look after people, and after that I will look into spirituality. So that is a normal notion that is there in the world. And because of that, people in the world will not be able to realize. Therefore, majority of the people are suited to sannyasa margam, wherein they have no restrictions, they don't have any bondages, because they are always focusing on Brahman. So that is advantage for current day people in sannyasam. Else people will say, okay, Vedantam is fine, but I have my duties. Okay, my daughter can learn Vedantam, my son can learn Vedantam, but still they have duty. And it is my duty to ensure that they get married, they get settled. Therefore, though they are learning Vedanta, they have to succumb to my activities, because it is my duty, I have to do my duty. So those are statements of ignorant as well as foolish people, because the highest dharma, highest duty of a human being is to realize who he is. Without that duty, anything and everything else is of no use. So it is forgetting that duty that people in the world claim that, okay, a person has to be in the world. So both ways it is there. People in the world will claim that, okay, oh, grihastha ashrama is great because it is very tough. I am in the world, I do my duty, yet I go to the temple, yet I go to a person and learn Vedanta, therefore I am great. But Vedanta has nothing to do with doing activities in the world, because a Vedantin is never doing any activity because he is the Sakshi. And a sannyasi might say, okay, I have renounced everything, therefore I am great. But in both cases, both the people are wrong, because that's where sannyasam or renunciation is not with respect to external renunciation. Real renunciation is renunciation of the ego. When a person renounces the doer or ahankaram or the jiva, then he is ever the Sakshi. So such a person is ever a Sakshi of all activities. Therefore, though he may be in the world, though he may be a grihastha or a sannyasi, both the activities, grihastha ashramam and sannyasa ashramam, is only for the body and the mind. It's only the duties that make a person a grihastha ashrama and a sannyasa ashrama. So a grihastha ashrami is a person who has to do certain duties. A sannyasi is a person who has to do certain duties. But in both cases, there are duties. But the moment a person renounces the ego, in both cases, there is no doer. He is not associated with the doer. Since he is not associated with the doer, therefore he is a sakshi. That is real sannyasam. That's where Krishna says, Nyeyaha sa nitya sannyasi. Such a person who is ever renunciate, because he doesn't have raga dvesham, he doesn't have dvandva bhavam, he doesn't have dual notions. That is possible only when a person is a sakshi to the activities in the illusory world. And that can happen only through jnanam. So it's good to remember that at the empirical level, for a sadhaka, he has to choose as to which is better for him. Is grihastha ashrama going to help him in spiritual path, or sannyasa ashrama going to help him in spiritual path, and choose it. It doesn't matter what he chooses, but it matters whether he is able to focus on Brahman, whether he is able to follow Vedantic sadhana. The sadhana that Shankara is saying, the sadhana of Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. If a person is in grihastha ashrama and he can do this, well and good. If he is in sannyasa ashrama and he is not able to do Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, then it's of no use. There have been cases where sannyasis have fought over each other. The famous case of Jyotir Mutt, one of the four mutts that Shankara established in four corners of India. So Jyotir Mutt, the Shankaracharya there, when he died, people started there was a lot of confusion as to who should be the successor, who should be the next sannyasi or Shankaracharya. And few disciples, there were two or three disciples, they claimed that they are the successor. So the Jyotir Mutt was under a lot of confusion as to who is the next Shankaracharya. So those two or three sannyasis who were disciples of that Shankaracharya, they started arguing, going to law as well as fighting in court and all as to who is should be the successor. And on the other side, there was also Maharshi Mahesh Yogi and his followers who claimed that he was offered Shankaracharya and he rejected it. So all sorts of confusions and things happened there. And those people, those sannyasis were sannyasis and they were the direct disciple of Shankaracharya, that Shankaracharya, Jyotirmaya Shankaracharya. Yet they fouled. So it doesn't matter whether a person is a sannyasi or a grihasthashrama. It matters whether he is able to follow Shravanamanu Didhyasana. So that is another meaning of Tyagam, is renunciation or sannyasam. But as explained, the real Tyagam is when a person renounces the ego. When the ego is renounced, everything associated with the ego is renounced. So when the ego is renounced, everything is renounced. Everything except the Atman is renounced, because everything except the Atman starts from the ego, is associated with the ego. So even as we renounce a train, simple example, we are going in a train, we get down at a station, we are renouncing the train. Along with getting out of the train, we also get out of the people in the train. So we are in fact renouncing not only the train but the people there as well. Okay, we may chat with a person there, a person traveling with us, we may play with a child which is there sitting nearby seat, we may play. Yet when we get down from the train, we renounce all of them. Similarly, renouncing of the train makes us renounce everything in the train. Similarly, the moment we renounce ego, the entire world is renounced, and everything except the Atman is renounced. That is real Tyagam. So real Tyagam is when a person renounces everything. So Tyagaha Prapancha Rupasya, Prapancha Rupasya Tyagaha, Tyagam, renunciation of the form of Prapancha, means the form or the entire world. That means Nama Rupam in the world. As we have always discussed, Asti Bhati Priyam Rupam Namam Chetyam Shapanchakam Adyatrayo Brahma Rupam Jagad Rupam Tatodvayam. We can split the world or any object in the world as having five parts. Asti Bhati Priyam Namam Rupam. First three are Asti, means Sat or existence, Bhati means Chit, and Priyam means Anandam. So Satchit Anandam, Sat Chit Anandam, three, and Nama Rupam. Satchidanandam stands for Brahman and Nama Rupam stands for Jagat. So Prapancha Rupasya Tyagaha, renouncing the Prapancham, renouncing Nama Rupam in the Prapancham. How can you renounce Nama Rupam? You cannot renounce anything as such unless you apprehend something else. So the if we say renouncing the world in the right sense, that means negation of the world would ensue. That is not possible, because the world will always exist. The world will exist, but just that our perception of the world will change. Even though we know that there is no dream world, yet we dream daily. So if it was that once we know that there is no dream world, we will not dream, then it should have been the case, but which is not the case. Therefore, the world will or may be experienced again. So renunciation of the world is viewing the world in the right way. That means renouncing Nama Rupam. When you renounce Nama Rupam, or how can you renounce Nama Rupam? Chidatmatvam avalokanat. Avalokanat, perception or knowledge of what? Chidatmatvam. Chidatmatvam, that the world is the conscious self. So the world to be conscious self. So renunciation of the Nama Rupam in the world through knowing it to be Brahman. So Satchidanandam and Nama Rupam. Nama Rupam is Mithya. Nama Rupam, we can know Nama Rupam to be Mithya only when we apprehend the substratum. Only when we apprehend Satchidanandam, we can renounce Nama Rupam. Only when we apprehend the rope, we can renounce the snake seen in rope. If we don't perceive the rope, we cannot renounce the snake. Similarly, we cannot renounce the world unless we know that it is Sachidanandam as its substratum. So that is renunciation. Tyago, that is Tyagaha, he surely. And Mahatam Pujaha. Mahatam Sadhyo Pujaha. So Mahata means Mahatmas or great saints. Great saints worship it. Pujaha, they worship it or practice it. Why? Yataha. Yataha means from which? Means from Tyagam. Sadhyo Mokshamayaha. Yataha. Because Tyagam is Mokshamayam. So Tyagam is can give instant liberation. The moment we renounce everything, the moment we renounce the entire world with the ego, then there is only the Atman left. If there is only the Atman left, then we are the Atman, or that is called liberation or realization. So the moment we renounce everything, then it gives us instant liberation. So Sadhyo Mokshamayaha, immediate instant liberation. It is of the nature of giving instant liberation. Therefore, Mahatmas or saints constantly worship it, always practice it. So Tyagam is whenever we see anything in the world, renounce or negate the Namarupam aspect by asserting it to be Brahman. That is real Tyagam. The moment we do this, the moment we negate Namarupam, then we have to negate Namarupam of the ego as well, because that is also perceived. And it doesn't matter whether we renounce the ego or not, because we are renouncing the entire world which consists of the ego. We are renouncing everything and asserting it to be Brahman, asserting it to be non-dual Brahman. If we have to assert everything to be non-dual Brahman, then we have to assert we have to assert the ego as well to be Namarupam in Brahman. That means we are renouncing everything. So one simple way of telling is that be a sakshi, be a witness of everything in the world. We can be a witness of everything in the world only when we know that the world is an illusion. Unless we know the world is an illusion, we cannot be a witness. That is the reason why famous or great actors like even Tom Hanks or Al Pacino, or Indian like Shah Rukh Khan or Amitabh Bachchan, they are very good actors, yet they can act perfectly only in films. They cannot act in real life because they know that real life is not a film. It's not an illusion. But they know that the film is an illusion. Since they know film is an illusion, therefore it doesn't matter whether they die in the film, whether they hit a person or whether they get hit, because it is an illusion. So with the knowledge that the world is an illusion, that alone can make us a witness to the entire world. Therefore, witnesshood or sakshi bhavam is another way of telling that renounce the namarupam in the world and assert Brahman. So when we are sakshi, we are concentrating on the mithya jagat, illusory world. If we are concentrating on illusory world, we can do that only when we assert Brahman. So one simple way is see everything as Brahman, or be a sakshi and see everything as an illusion. Both ways we have to understand, we have to know that the entire world is Brahman. In the first case we are seeing entire world as Brahman, in the second case we are seeing the world as a illusion in the substratum of Brahman. So in both cases Brahman is there. One is easy to follow because seeing everything as Brahman is very easy to follow, whereas being a sakshi, being a witness to activities, is not that easy. But in both ways, what would happen? Activities, when we are doing activities, we will not be affected by it. In the first case, we will not be affected because, I am talking to another person, so I should ensure that I talk in a better way, because the person shouldn't get angry. That will happen only when the ego is there. When I know that everything is Brahman, then how can the person get angry? Because it's only Brahman. If everything is Brahman, how can the person get angry? It's not possible. So whatever I feel, I'll speak. Whatever is the normal way, whatever is happening will happen by itself. And the person will not be affected. I will not be affected by whether I am speaking it harshly or whether I'm speaking it well. Because in both cases, it is just the ego. It's something that is happening, that's it. Because everything is Brahman, it doesn't matter whether I speak well or harshly. Whatever is required at that particular time, I'll do that. Even as great actors would perform as required in the film, they may even act as if they are completely drunk, but internally they know that they are not affected by it. They know and they are well aware that the drinking is only an action, it's only an illusion or illusory part in the film. Similarly, I'll not get affected. That is the first way. And second way, I won't get affected because I know that it's the ego which is working, ego which is acting. So if the ego wants to act in a bad way, depending on its vasana, let it do it. I will not get affected by it. Okay, I don't like, the ego doesn't like the person, so the ego scolds the person, ego speaks in a harsh way with the person, ego beats the person, let it do it. But I will also warn the ego. What will I warn? I'll warn that, okay, oh ego, if you are doing it that way, then be prepared. If you are hitting a person, you may also get a hit someday. So be prepared for it. If you are prepared for it, then it's fine. I don't have any issues. So in both cases, whether you are seeing everything as Brahman or you are following the attitude of a Sakshi, you are following Sakshi Bhavam, both ways you are unaffected. So that is the aim. So Tyagam of the world, by asserting that everything is Brahman, will in turn give us liberation from the bondages. Liberation, the first liberation is getting attached, getting affected by the illusory activities. That is what is called as ajnanam, ignorance. When a person is ignorant of his own nature of Brahman, when there is ignorance, then he will get affected by things or activities in the world. Whereas a jnani will never get affected. A jnani will not get affected because he knows that the world is an illusion. So that is what is called as liberation, because he is unaffected. He is liberated from the bondages of the world. He is liberated from the sorrows in the world. He is liberated from ignorance in the world. And this is the same thing that Krishna says at the end of Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Aham tva sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami ma shuchaha. So a lot of people might complain there, saying that sarva dharman parityajya. Oh, Krishna is telling to renounce all dharma. We have already discussed it a lot of times, yet dharma and adharma are only with respect to the world. So it is a worldly, those are worldly qualities, and it depends on a person. One person's dharma is not other person's dharma. The dharma of asuras is to kill the devas. So that might seem that it is not a proper dharma, yet that is the dharma of asuras. So dharma and adharma is always dependent on the person. But the real dharma, real duty of any person in the world is to realize his own nature of Brahman. And that can be done only if we renounce everything. So sarva dharman parityajya, renounce all dharmas. Oh, if I renounce my dharma, then I cannot do sandhya vandanam. I cannot do activities in the world. Isn't that bad? I should be doing my duty. I have to do my duty. Why? If I don't get children, then I will go to Narakam. That is what Shruti says. That is what the Upanishad says, that a person who doesn't have a child, he will go to Narakam. For that, we should understand that Swargam and Narakam again is, both of them are, heaven and hell are here itself. We can see heaven and hell. Those fathers who fight with their children for their welfare, they are in hell. Ask them whether they are in heaven. They'll say, no, I'm in hell. Why? Oh, my son is going his own way. He is not heeding to my words. He is not listening to me. He doesn't care what I am telling. What else can be hell for such a person? That is hell. So heaven and hell both are here only. And that Shruti statement which is speaking about a person going to hell if he doesn't have children is a relative perspective. Those are perspectives about upasana and karma. And Krishna as well as Shruti clearly negates all karmas. So if karmas are negated, then where does dharma come there? Dharma is another karma. Dharma is karmas that we are vihita karmam, we call it. Like those karma, vidhi. Karmas are split into different vidhi, nishedam, etc. So vidhi means injunctions, whatever Shruti says, whatever the dharma shastras say that you should do. So all karma, sarvam karma akilam partha jnane parisamapyate. All karmas end in knowledge. If that is the case, then where does dharma come in? The moment you gain knowledge that the entire world is nothing but an illusion of names and form in Brahman or Ishvara, then there is no karma. If there is no karma, then there is no dharma. Those people who stick on to dharma and take resort to dharma when they want it that way, when they don't want their children, when they don't want their partners, when they don't want their parents and others to learn Vedanta because it deviates from their dharma. So quoting dharma for this, those are foolish people because that is not dharma. So sarva dharman parityajya. So all dharmas, everything has to be renounced. Oh, everything has to be renounced, and I will renounce everything and live blissfully, live happily. I'll drink daily, I'll smoke daily, I'll go to parties daily, I'll do all those things because I've renounced everything. That's what Krishna says. Therefore, Krishna knows that we can interpret things wrongly, in the wrong way. Therefore, he doesn't stop there. Maam ekam sharanam vraja. So it's not just renouncing everything. If you renounce everything, it will lead to shunyam. Renounce everything, that means live as you want. That's not what he's telling. He's telling renounce all dharmas. Dharma means dharma and adharma both. So renounce everything and maam ekam sharanam vraja. Take refuge in me alone. He doesn't say me, but he says me alone. That means consider me as the ultimate goal. Consider me as the only solace in life. Consider me as the only support. Take me as the only support. Keep me as the high priority in life. So that is what is required. So it is not just renouncing everything. Renounce everything and take refuge in me alone. Take resort to me alone. So putting it in Balakrishna Nair's beautiful explanation, sarva dharman parityajya. Dharma has another meaning. Another meaning of dharma or another word meaning of dharma is qualities or gunam. You can say qualities or attributes. So if we see in the world has the attribute of namarupam. So sarva dharman parityajya, renounce all dharmas. That means, sorry, renounce all nama rupa in the world. So when you renounce all the nama rupa, then what else is there to take resort to? Take resort to me alone. Me alone means ekam brahma or advitiya brahman. That means what Krishna is telling is renounce nama rupam, renounce all nama rupam, renounce the entire world consisting of nama rupam and take resort to sachidanandam, take resort to brahman. That is the same meaning that Shankara says is tyagaha prapancha rupasya. Prapancha rupasya tyagaha. Renunciation of the world, the namarupam of the world by chidatmatva avalokanat, knowing them to be Brahman, knowing them to be the conscious self. That is possible when we renounce the all dharma. When we renounce dharma, it's not renunciation of the world. If we say renunciation of the world just like that, then it will become external sannyas when a person renounces the world. So here it is renouncing the nama rupam aspect of the world and taking resort, taking refuge in the sachidanandam aspect or me there. That is what is meant as me. Oh, doesn't me mean Krishna? Doesn't me mean the form of Krishna? Aham adishcha madhyam cha bhutanam antayeva cha. अहम आत्मा गुड़ाकेश सर्वभूताशयस्थितः अहम आत्मा गुड़ाकेश आई एम द सीक्रेट इनर मोस्ट सेल्फ सर्वभूताशयस्थितः इनसाइड ऑल बीइंग्स अहम आदिश्च मध्यम च आई एम बिगिनिंग आई एम मिडिल भूतानां अंत एव च एंड एंड ऑफ ऑल बीइंग्स कृष्णा कैन नॉट बी मोर क्लियरर देन दैट. Saying that everything is me, beginning, middle, end. There is no need of telling all those. Everything is me. That is enough. But people can ask doubt. Okay, take everything is me. Take a resort to me alone or me there means Brahman or the Advitiya Brahman. We can't apprehend that as clear or in a clear way because we have confusion. We will think, okay, it is a form of Krishna. Me means form of Krishna. Me means Saguna Brahman. It is not Nirguna. There is no Nirguna Brahman. Therefore, Krishna says, Adi Madhyam Antam. Beginning and middle, everything is me alone. So such a me who is present in the entire world, that is Ishavasi Midam Sarvam, Sarvam Brahmamayam, that is the ultimate reality of Brahman. Archidatma. So that is what is meant there. And he has also said in many other places, Kshetrajnam Chapi Mam Vidhi Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata. O Bharata, O Arjuna, consider Idam Shariram Kaunteya Kshetram Ityabhidhiyate. This body is Kshetram. Etad yo veti tam prahu kshetrajna iti tadvitah. The person who knows the kshetram, the person who is behind this kshetram, know him to be the kshetrajna, the self to be the kshetrajna. And kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. Sarva kshetreshu, in all the bodies, in all the temples, in all the bodies, know me to be the kshetrajna. That means the kshetrajna or the self in all is the self in me. Yastu sarvani bhutani atmanyevanu pashyati sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato na vijugupsati. Ishavasi Upanishadam says that a person who sees the self in all and all in self, he doesn't get hatred, he doesn't fear anything. Sarva bhutastam atmanam sarva bhutani chatmini ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshinaha. Yoga Yuktatma, a person who is a yogi, who has a focused mind, concentrated mind, he sees the self in all and all in self. Therefore, he sees equanimity or equality everywhere. And such a yogi is very dear to me. So these are many of the shlokas which speak about me or Krishna as that Brahman who alone is present, Advitiya Brahman. So, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Renounce Nama Rupam in the world and assert everything to be Brahman. See everything as me. Take resort to Brahman alone. That means, always keep Brahman as the high priority. Even if parents, even if Guru is against, still if a person, if a sadhaka is able to still hold on to Brahman, then we can be like, it's not my words, but the Puranas say. So such a person who is able to still hold on to Brahman, even when there are problems, like even when parents, even when brother, sister, even when Guru is going against, revolting against them, stopping them, posing obstacle, such a sadhaka will surely realize Brahman, because that's how this Puranas speak about. Puranas speak about Prahlada, who went against his father. Mahabali, he went against his guru. So many other cases are there. So if a person is able to prioritize and still hold on to Brahman always, then what would happen? Aham tva sarva papebhyo, sarva papebhyo, sarva papebhyo, all sins. Whatever sin you can say. So it may be a big sin like killing, Brahmahatya. Brahmahatya is one of the greatest pabam. Killing a Brahmana is very considered the worst sin. So killing a Brahmana or any small sin. Okay, let's say I was walking on the way and I tramped on a mosquito or I killed a mosquito. Oh, you killed a mosquito. Ahimsa. You should be following Ahimsa. You shouldn't kill people, other people. Even if it is a small animal, you shouldn't kill. So, even those sins, even whatever be the sin, it doesn't matter whether it is himsa or ahimsa. It doesn't matter. What really matters is whether a person is taking resort to Brahman. If he is taking, then sarva papebhyo, from all sins, mokshayishyami aham. Aham tva mokshayishyami. I will liberate you from all sins. Ma shujaha, do not worry. Don't worry at all. So there are people who stick on to ahimsa, himsa, many other things. The biggest problem with Gandhiji or Mahatma Gandhi, as we term, okay, there are There are two sets of people. Few people are completely against Gandhi. So there are few people who are completely against Gandhi or calling him Mahatma because he didn't protect his children. He considered his children as bad. And if you read Experiments with My Truth, the book of Gandhi, autobiography of Gandhi, then you can find that he even visited prostitutes or whorehouse, whatever we can call it. So some people are completely against him and some people just follow him, ahimsa vadis. But though Patanjali may speak about ahimsa as something very great, yet Vedanta doesn't differentiate between ahimsa and himsa, because that is another dvandva bhavana. It is another dual notion in the world. Even as sukha dukkham, even as ragadvesham, ragadvesham, sukha dukkham, etc., ahimsa and himsa are also part of it. But if the entire world is an illusion, then where can you have ahimsa and himsa? Where can you have dharma and adharma? Everything is Brahman. Then how can you differentiate? The moment you differentiate, you are in namarupam, you will be led to sorrow. That was the problem with Gandhiji. Gandhi learned the scriptures. He knew Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita was one of his favorite books. Yet he focused on ahimsa. He focused on the karma aspect of Bhagavad Gita. If you read his interpretation or Bala Gangadhar Tilak's interpretation of Gita, you can find that they focused more on karma than on jnana. So that is the problem. And what happened then? My country needs freedom. And so started all problems. And we all know, like, we can say, oh, Gandhi died by calling Rama, therefore he went to Swarga. He would get realized. Antakale cha mamapi. So a person who is remembering me at the end of his life, such a person will end up in me. So that is what Krishna's statement in the 8th chapter. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yaprayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. Do not have any doubt that a person who is able to remember me at the end of his life, he will attain me. So Gandhi spoke about Rama, therefore he got liberated. That's a wrong notion. Gandhi spoke about Rama. The word Rama itself says, like, it can be Brahman or it can be the form of Rama. It can be Nirguna Brahman or it can be Saguna Brahman, who is more towards ahimsa, more towards dharma than adharma. And if it is Rama, then Gandhi would go to the Rama Loka. Each god has his loka or Vaikuntham, whatever it is. And that is not liberation. That is only one of the types of mukti. It is not ultimate mukti because there is still Dvaitam left. So just because a person at the end of his life, he spoke about Shiva, he spoke about Sandhya Vandanam, he spoke about Vishnu Sahasranama, that doesn't make him liberated. Liberation is not something which is after life. Sadhyo mukti. Shankara and Vedanta emphasizes on sadhyo mukti or instant liberation here itself. Liberation is not something which is after death, because that is only liberation of the body. The body goes, but the Atman is ever liberated. The ever liberated Atman can be realized in a person get liberated from the bondages of samsara here itself, here and this very moment. So such a liberation which is after death, it is not like that's not the only liberation. Liberation can also be here. So the liberation, Vedanta speaks about sadhyo mukti or jivan mukti. Mukti when we are here itself, and krama mukti or gradual liberation which is after death. So if we read Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam speaks about Bhishma gaining or achieving krama mukti or gradual liberation. It's a process which is explained in the 16th chapter of Gita as well as, not sorry, 8th chapter of Gita as well as Manusmriti and other works. And if we analyze Bhishma's life, Bhishma is the person who gave Vishnu Sahasranamam to Yudhishthira. So kim ekam devatam loke kim vapyekam parayanam. which is the devata that I have to worship. So for all those things, Bhishma said that it is Brahman, it is that Lord who alone is present here. So Bhishma was not thinking about a Rama or a Krishna or Shiva. He was thinking about Brahman. Thereby he got Krama Mukti, or it's called gradual liberation. It's one of the types, but it's best to gain liberation when we are living, because we can get that. So that is real liberation. And Gandhi was a person who suffered at the end because he was sad. He was not happy. A person who is a Jivan Mukta, a person who is a Jnani, he will never be sad. He will work for the welfare of the world. People like Amma and Swami Vivekananda, they are the people who serve the entire world. They wanted to do a lot of things for the world. Yet they were not sad when things, bad things happened. They were not sad when people... Vivekananda was not sad when he came to US, when he came to America. He landed here and the people here, they called him like bloody Indian or like a sage, and then pushed him. He was not sad. He stood up straight. He stood up bold and said, "Why are you pushing me?" So that is a real jnani. Unlike Gandhi, like, who was sad with the state of India. So the moment a person gets attached to ahimsa or dharma, any one of the dual notions, then he is in bondage. He will not get liberation. Liberation is when sarva dharman parityajya, everything has to be renounced. Then alone, aham tva sarva papepyo mokshayishyami, I will liberate you from all sins. Whatever be the sins that you have done, you are going to do, you are doing, I will liberate you, because that's the only thing that can happen out of such renunciation, because that renunciation can give us only liberation or anandam. So sadhyo mokshamayaha, this tyagam, renunciation of the world, nama rupam of the world, by asserting it to be Brahman. So always asserting everything to be Brahman, always negating nama rupam, jagan mithyatvam, mithya, and brahma satyam, asserting everything to be Brahman, that is real tyagam. Each and every moment, whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever we think, whatever is there in the world, we have to renounce it. We have to renounce the nama rupam in it and assert it to be Brahman or Ishvara. That is tyagam. Such a tyagam will lead a person to instant liberation. If a person is able to do such a tyagam this moment, it is Vedanta's promise that if a person is able to do it now, this very moment, he can renounce everything, then he will gain anandam. He will get realized or he will get liberated. Just that, if he renounces now and then again gets attached, then liberation also will go, because it's not permanent. It's a temporary one. But we can experience it any time, any moment we renounce everything. We renounce the entire world from our mind, then we will gain anandam. That is the anandam which attracts seekers to learn. Attracts seekers to learn Vedanta, practice Vedanta. If not for that, if a sadhaka was not able to find and know that Vedanta or Vedantic sadhana would give him anandam, then nobody would come, because there are other temporary means of anandam. People will be satisfied by it. So it is like glimpse of anandam when a person renounces the world by hearing to Guru Vakyam, by learning Shastra, by following the Vedantic sadhana that Shastra speaks about. That is what attracts and keeps the seekers in the path until they realize. Therefore, wise people, great people always follow Tyagam. Since great people follow Tyagam, we also have to follow. If we follow, then we will get instant liberation. And we will be liberated from all our sins, whatever is it. Oh, you fought with your guru? You fought with your parents, you fought with your brother, you fought in the office, you have done this, you have done that, you have cheated on people, you have done this, you have killed a person, you have scolded a person, you have hurt a person. All sins, irrespective of whether it is small or big, a person will get liberated from it. And that is Krishna's promise. And that promise, like, we can find in the lives of Mahatma, even in Mahabharata, we can find it working in for many people like Uddhava and Vidura. So if it can happen for such people, and if it could happen, if Krishna kept his promise during his time, if he kept his promise for Shankara, if he kept his promise for Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, Ramana Maharshi, Vivekananda, Amma and other saints, then he will keep it for us as well. So it's a promise of the Lord which he has kept and he will keep. We can be sure of only that thing. So everything in the world is temporary. So it's fluctuating. So things in the world are nalini dalagata jalamati taralam tadva jivitam atishaya chapalam. Even as water in a lotus leaf is so temporary. 1 minute it is there, the very next moment, not even a minute, one moment it is there, then very next moment it goes away. Similarly, the world, atishaya chapalam, it is filled with problems, sorrows, as well as temporariness is part of the world. But if we can be sure of anything in the world, then it can be Krishna's or Paramatma's or Mahatma's guarantee. So that is the only thing which we can really believe in the world. So if there is one thing that we can believe in the world, it is Mahatmas or Ishwaras or Jivan Mukta's words. So that word they will keep because Paramatma or Krishna is forced to keep, even as he has said in many other places, that for a bhakta, for a person who is seeking him completely, for a person who has completely sought refuge in him, it is his duty to protect. So if we can say that if worldly people keep up their duties, they even go to the extent of even threatening their children if they have to do their duty, then we can be assured that the Lord also will have or will keep his duty as much as he can. Or in whatever way he can, not as much as he can, because he always keeps. He, in any way or whatever be the way, he will keep his duty so that it becomes his duty. And unlike worldly people, if we take refuge in one person, in our friend, they will be supporting us only to an extent. After that, there will be a time when they will leave us. Though we may seek refuge in them, they will not protect us. But that's not the case with Ishvara. So if we do Tyagam, then we'll not only have the backing of Jnanam, that knowledge that the world is an illusion, which itself is enough, which itself is more than enough for a person to not be affected by the activities in the world, but we'll also have the protection of Ishvara as well as Jivan Muktas in the world. So that will always be there. So this is the third sadhana that Shankara speaks about, which has to be constantly followed or practiced. We'll see the next sadhana in the next day. Hari Om.